Blog Talk Radio.
Mancini, Peter Gunstein. The show might suck for the rest of the time, but I got some of the coolest opening tunes in the business. James Bostic here, the Conservative's Perspective. It's good to be here with you. We are on tonight live, as we do every Tuesday and Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, here at Blog Talk Radio. And at Blog Talk Radio, we are working through the studios of the Patriot Nation Radio Network, and I'm very, very happy to be here with you. Thanks for the opportunity to get to spend a little bit of time. I'm tired, people. I'm not kidding with you. I really am. I'm tired. I've been tired for weeks now, and I've still got like about 3 weeks left in my hitch of this schedule that I'm on for the time being. And I'm not whining about it, but you know what, here's what's going on. It's not a physical tired, really and truly. It's not, I'm staying physically active. I do a lot of sitting at times during the day, but I counter that with, walking, exercise, trying to stay, you know, physically active. It's a mental tired. In my daytime gig, as most of you know, I work in the school, the high school that I graduated from, and I've been there for about 15 years. Been doing this for about 15 years, and I love every day. Wouldn't trade it. I don't even call it going to work. When I tell people what's going on, I say, "Hey, let me tell you what happened at school today," or, "Oh man, I'm late. I got to get to school." I don't even call it a job. I love it that much, and I wouldn't trade it, and I'm not going to. But at the end of the school year, by the time the guys that I work with, and I work in the special ed department, and I work with I work with the coolest cats in that school, man. I'm gonna tell you that right now. Yeah, they got some things going on. Who doesn't? But they are the coolest dudes in that school right now. We graduated three. We had our graduation ceremonies last weekend, and three of the students in our classroom graduated, and we're exceedingly proud of them. We'll pick up another three at the beginning of next year, so we're breaking even, I guess you could say. But in our classroom right now, we have seven boys. Now, one of the boys is a senior who graduated last Friday, but the guy loves coming to school so much, he was back on Monday working on spelling words, and he's been there every day this week, and he will be there for the remaining 3 days that we have next week. I'm not kidding you. This boy loves coming to school, and we love him, and we love having him around. So we were able to work it out to where, even though he graduated last Friday, he could still come to school and attend class and be with us till the end of the school year. So we have seven boys. Of those seven boys, no, wait a minute, we got eight. Not counting Andrew, we have seven. Eight. Golly, Mitch. See, I am tired. I am so tired. Seven guys. Of those seven guys, five of them are Down syndrome, fellas. And of those seven, five of them hang out with me. And I'm going to tell you what, I wouldn't trade it for anything. I would not trade it for anything. Intellectually, but more so in terms of intellectual honesty, let me put it that way. In terms of intellectual honesty and in terms of spiritual wholesomeness, it's been the best 14 years of my life. It really has. But with these guys, and this is what was kind of special about them, they get full quicker than a lot of the regular kids. I mean, everybody by that last 2 weeks, you know, they're done. They're just laying down. And the seniors are even worse because by about late April, they're through. They know they're short timers and you can't get them to do anything. Even if you poke them with a sharp stick, they just lay there and grunt a little bit. And that's it. And our guys are no different. But our guys get full about late March. Early April, about a month, 6 weeks ahead of everybody else. And it's a challenge. They're good kids. They have good work ethics. And, you know, they do what we ask them to do. And they do the work that we want them to do. But it's just because they're just going through the motions like everybody is now, you know, at the end of the school. And they do their best and they try to stay focused. And so, you know, we make sure that we get plenty of rewards in there for those guys. But they're tired, and I'm tired, but, you know, the end is in sight. We're coming up on Memorial Day weekend. Let us not forget, Mr. and Mrs. America, while we're having those hot dogs and hanging out in the yard with family and friends and swilling beer and playing cornhole or yard darts or whatever the outdoor pastime will be wherever you're at celebrating the Memorial Day weekend, let's be mindful of those men and women and the sacrifices that they made so that we can enjoy this. Because it's a very American thing what we do on these holidays. But we should always be mindful. We should never, ever forget the sacrifice that was made. Well, as advertised, and I would like to say, I'd like to give a shout out to the AIM Network, their Facebook presence. It's a media group that has been gracious enough to allow me to post the show there. And I always want to make sure that I get a little reciprocity as best I can with all of the people. And also, you can hear ACP in its recorded version on the Talk America radio network, and that's at talkamericaradio.org. They have two audio streaming channels, the Liberty Stream and the Justice Stream. ACP can be heard on both of those, as well as various and sundry other places throughout the world wide web of danger and intrigue known as the internet. Now, having said all that, let's move on. We've been watching over the weeks and months as Bob Mueller's collusion probe and his party of headhunters, I think it's like 16 lawyers. They're all Democrats. They're all Hillary supporters, 15 of them heavy donors to various Democrat big wheel political campaigns. So it's a headhunting party. You know, that's what they're doing. They want to nail the president's sack on the wall, and they've become blind in their fanaticism in doing this at any cost. I mean, they've gone into this scorched earth policy, and there are a lot of characters, and we've talked about a bunch of them. I know that, and it's almost like you need a scorecard. You know, you can't tell your mother-in-law from a striped butt baboon without a scorecard. But anyway, we've talked about, we know the president. We know Mike Pence. We know about Jeff Sessions as Attorney General of the Department of Justice. We know, of course, about Bob Mueller. We know about Christopher Wray as Director of the FBI. We know about Andy McCabe as disgraced former director. We know about Jim Comey, disgraced former director. Andy McCabe was assistant. He was a deputy director. We know about these folks, and we know a little bit about what they've done and kind of the roles that they've played. But there's one cat that we haven't talked a whole lot about, and I picked up this article a couple of weeks ago, and I've been meaning to bring it to bear because it's still relevant, and I haven't had a chance. But we haven't talked a whole lot about a very pivotal figure in all this. And I know you hear me say that a lot because it's like all these guys have their roles to play. And in a way, for a bunch of dunderheads, because that's what these people are, and we'll get to that in a minute, for a bunch of dunderheads, their sense of teamwork and coordination has been exemplary. But the guy we're going to talk about tonight is Rod Rosenstein. Rod Rosenstein is Deputy Attorney General under Jeff Sessions and would be the superior officer supervising Robert Mueller and the collusion probe. And he was confirmed. It was unbelievably lopsided. It was 94-6 was the vote to confirm him as Deputy Attorney General. Well, that should have set off warning bells. It would be odd, number one, that a Trump nominee would get that much Democrat support, if any. But his role in appointing his buddy Bob Mueller to lead a bogus Russian collusion probe, coupled with his history of looking the other way when Hillary Clinton's involved, shows that the Democrats had high hopes for Rod Rosenstein. Hopes realized by actions documented in a four-page House Intelligence Committee memo. And I want to share some of that with this secret, highly contentious Republican memo reveals that Deputy Attorney General Rod J. Rosenstein, some people say Rosenstein, whatever, blows your hair back, man, it's cool. Deputy Attorney General Rod J. Rosenstein approved an application to extend surveillance of a former Trump campaign associate shortly after taking office last spring. The renewal, and they did this four times with this FISA warrant to maintain electronic surveillance on Carter Page, a foreign policy advisor and like a third-level campaign guy for the Trump crew. The renewal shows that the Justice Department, under President Trump, saw reason to believe that the associate Carter Page was acting as a Russian agent. The memo's primary contention is that FBI and Justice Department officials failed to adequately explain to an intelligence court judge in initially seeking a warrant for surveillance of Mr. Page that they were relying in part on research by an investigator, Christopher Steele, that this had been paid for, been financed by the Democrat National Committee and Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. Now, the conventional thinking is that had full disclosure been made on these issues, that the FISA court judge would have said, you know, not just no, but heck no. No, 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 no. We ain't having it. But they didn't tell him the truth. And he was unaware of the source and not knowing the source. And I kind of wonder why he wouldn't question the source. Where did you guys get this information from? Well, I was classified, Your Honor. I'm a secret judge, dude. You can tell me secrets. I don't know how that plays out. But anyway, Christopher Steele's discredited research, which relied heavily on input from Russian sources, was paid for by the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign. So this puts Rosenstein in the position of aiding the efforts of one political party to overturn the results of an election won by the other political party. How? Well, by okaying domestic spying on an American citizen. Again, just like on the Tuesday show. And, you know, we've gone through the definition of treason a couple of different times. And we'll go back through it. Again, like I said, when I share this stuff with you, be thinking about that. Now, again, we're going to say this puts the Deputy Attorney General, the second highest gun, well, the third highest, I mean, the president being the chief executive, and then you have the attorney general, and then you have Rod Rosen. He's like the third highest gun in the Justice Department, is now in the position of aiding the efforts of one political party, the Democrats, to overturn the results of an election won by the other political party by permitting domestic spying on an American citizen. So, when the newly departed Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe testified for 7 hours before the House Intelligence Committee, he was unable to report that the FBI had corroborated anything in the Steele dossier except this one thing: Carter Page had visited Russia once. Disgraced former FBI Director James Comey said himself the Steele dossier was salacious and unverifiable. Investigators say that McCabe recounted, well, I got something else about Andy McCabe. I found out today some of this, well, now we won't get into it. Investigators say that McCabe recounted to the congressional panel how hard the FBI had worked to verify the contents of the anti-Trump dossier and stood by its credibility. But when pressed to identify what it was in this salacious document the Bureau had actually corroborated, manufactured, the sources said McCabe cited only the fact, the only thing they could corroborate was the fact that Trump campaign advisor Carter Page, who was the target of the surveillance, had traveled to Moscow. Beyond that, investigators say, McCabe could not even say that the Bureau had verified the dossier's allegations about the specific meetings Page supposedly held in Moscow. They can't confirm who he met with. They just know that he went. So, based on the flimsiest of evidence in a fake Russian dossier paid for by Democrats, the surveillance of Carter Page began and was reauthorized by Rosenstein. Carter Page has vehemently denied the allegations in the dossier and has sought the release of the memo to show its falseness and to show the Department of Justice of Rod Rosenstein and the FBI of Andrew McCabe did indeed collude with Democrats to keep Hillary Clinton out of prison and Donald Trump out of the White House. The former Trump campaign advisor who was spied on by the U.S. government prior to the 2016 election is very much in favor of the release of this controversial congressional memo alleging the abuses of the surveillance warrant application process. Carter Page pressed for the release of the FISA application that was submitted by Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. Rosenstein's the guy that submitted this thing in the first place to the FISA court. Doesn't tell him where it comes from, doesn't tell him what it really is, because it's product. It wasn't disseminated, it wasn't discovered, it's probably it was manufactured. So, if these FISA warrants indeed exist, as has been extensively reported, and there's little reason to doubt that they don't, wide-ranging false evidence will inevitably be revealed in light of the fact that I've never done anything remotely unlawful in Russia or with any Russian person in any point in my life, says Carter Page. What remains unanswered about the application for the warrant on Page is how heavily it relied on this dossier and whether the FBI or the Department of Justice vetted the allegations made about Carter Page by Christopher Steele. Now, Page denies everything that was put in there. British former spy Christopher Steele, commissioned by opposition research firm Fusion GPS and financed by the Clinton campaign and the DNC, is the man responsible for this. Now, you could also say, if we're really looking for collusion, that Christopher Steele, as an employee of Fusion GPS, was acting as a paid agent of the Democrat National Committee, just as Fusion GPS, who assigned him to go to Russia and manufacture this intelligence product, were also paid agents of Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign and the Democrat National Committee, acting in concert with members of the Russian, current and former members of the Russian government, fellows in the intelligence community. He had a boatload of money. He's throwing it out there. Well, Boris, sit down. I must speak to you. That is crazy American. Well, he's British. He works for American. They're all the same Yankees, imperialists, capitalists. Crazy former Russian spy, British spy. He's throwing money away. What does he want? He wants us to make up stories on Trump. We make it sound believable. He gives us 60, 80, 100, 10,000 rubles. Let's go talk to him. So they go and they talk to this guy. And they sit around and it's nod, nod, nudge, wink. And they come up with this product from shifty, ethereal intelligence sources. None of it can be proved. None of it can be proved. The only thing that can be proved in the entire dossier from the FBI's analysis was the fact that at one time Carter Page went to Russia. What did he do? Well, we don't know. Who did he talk with? We don't know that either. Okay, thanks. But in this dossier, in this 35-page dossier, Christopher Steele alleges that Page was the Trump campaign's main back channel to the Kremlin for purposes of campaign collusion. Steele claims that Page was working with former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort and that during a trip to Moscow in July 2016, he met secretly with two Kremlin cronies, Igor Sechin and Igor Divyakin. The Igors. Igor 1, Igor 2. It's a common name. So the dossier alleges that it was Carter Page who came up with this idea of having the hacked DNC emails released through WikiLeaks in order to get Bernie Sanders supporters mad and to pull them away from Hillary Clinton and the Trump camp. Now, if you'll remember at the time, when these emails came out, basically what had been suspected in the Democrat primaries all along was that the playing field had been tilted in favor of Hillary with the superdelegates. And these superdelegates just meant that the fix was in, that Bernie could do whatever he wanted to do, and he was running a competitive campaign. He's crazy. He's 75 years old. He's a socialist. And he was the darling of the something-for-nothing crowd. Now, had that been a legitimate Democrat primary, who's to say what would have happened? It wouldn't have mattered who it was. Donald Trump would have thrashed them in the presidential election, as he did. Well, Page denies all of this. He says he doesn't know Paul Manafort, and he's never spoke with the Igors. Well, needless to say, Rosenstein did not grant Page's request to see the FISA application to determine how much of it was based on Steele's fake dossier, nor has he expressed at this point any dissatisfaction, that is Rosenstein, with the Mueller witch hunt that he's responsible for launching. In an interview with the local D.C. TV station, Rosenstein admired the monster he created, who now runs an alleged investigation into supposed Russian-Trump collusion, but which quickly morphed into what amounts to basically a silent coup against the sitting president of the United States. Again, ladies and gentlemen, we'll have to go back to that definition of treason. The United States Department of Justice official who appointed Special Counsel Robert Mueller to investigate Russian efforts to influence the 2016 presidential election said he's satisfied with the counsel's work. And he goes on to say the Office of Special Counsel, as you know, has a degree of autonomy from the Department of Justice, but there is appropriate oversight by the department that includes budget, but it also includes certain other details of the office. It is part of the Department of Justice, and we are accountable for it. Yes. Yes, Mr. Rosenstein, you are certainly accountable for the Mueller witch hunt. He picked the staff and prosecutors as if he was stalking Hillary Clinton's Department of Justice. Clinton donors, an attorney who worked for the Clinton Foundation, a former Watergate assistant prosecutor. Man, those guys are still alive. Dude's got to be like in his hundreds. And even a senior advisor to Eric Holder, objective professionals, all. Several conservative lawmakers held a news conference Wednesday demanding more details. This would have been Wednesday of last week, about how the FBI proceeded last year in its probes of the Hillary Clinton's personal email server and the Russian election interference. Now, this week, the conservative group Judicial Watch released an internal Justice Department email that the group said showed political bias against Trump by one of Mueller's senior prosecutors. The question really is, if Bob Mueller was doing such a great job on investigating Russian collusion, why could he have not found a conflict of interest within their own agency? So you've got these guys that have, you know, flaming conflicts of interest. Mueller turns a blind eye to it. Rosenstein he's aware of this. He's not unaware. He knows what's going on. He knows the guys that Mueller has picked because Mueller's probably, you know, had Rosenstein's input on picking these guys out. And it's a very good question that, of course, Rod Rosenstein isn't going to answer. Rosenstein is satisfied with what Bob Mueller's doing, and why wouldn't he be? They go back a long way, and they cooperated in the cover-up of an FBI investigation into Russia's use of bribes and kickbacks and money laundering to grab U.S. uranium supplies and real collusion with Hillary Clinton, only to resurface years later to chase phantom collusion between Team Trump and Russia. And we got to close this up because we're down at the bottom of the hour. And basically, if evidence of bribery, when we talk about looking the other way when Hillary Clinton's involved, if evidence of bribery and kickbacks and extortion and money laundering in the Uranium One affair, and I have spoken at length on that topic, America, and these weren't grounds for a special prosecutor to be assigned to investigate Hillary Clinton, then what is? This is a delaying action. Rosenstein's goal apparently has long been to shield Hillary Clinton from prosecution for her crimes and to use any means to bring down the Trump administration that he was supposedly appointed to serve. And now he has stooped so low as to employ a fake Russian dossier in a witch hunt that the late Senator Joseph McCarthy could only envy. Bottom line, Rod Rosenstein, Robert J. Mueller, Andrew McCabe, all these people have used the office of the special counsel and a politicized, a weaponized Federal Bureau of Investigation and Department of Justice to conduct a silent coup against a duly elected president and our unindicted co-conspirators in Hillary Clinton's crimes as well. They should be the targets of their very own special counsel. Bottom of the hour. Ooh, smack on the bottom of the hour. Boys on fire tonight. All right. We will be back with more of ACP right after this. Take it, Dean.
Drink to me only. That's all I ask. And I will drink to
how long I've been on?
I don't care if the sun don't shine. I do my drinking in the evening time when I'm in Las Vegas. You can sit in the sun and camp. I get my color from a sunray lamp when I'm in Las Vegas. I love the laughs and love the life. There's fun of every kind. Next time I come, I'll bring my wife. I'll do that if I lose my mind. A wife in Vegas, take my advice. It's like going to China with a sack of rice. But I love Las Vegas. I love Vegas in the summer. I love it in the fall. I love Vegas, may I say that it's a gasser. Yeah, I love Vegas like it's Egypt and I am Nasser. I love Vegas every moment. Ooh, it's my favorite atmosphere. I love Vegas. Why do I love Vegas? Because my money's here. I love Vegas when I'm winning. I love it when I lose. I love Vegas like the army loves its manuals. I love Vegas like Sinatra loves Jack Daniels. I love Vegas every moment. Oh, Mr. Untrotter, I must cheer. Hey, you smart boy. I love Vegas. Ach, du liebe, do I love Vegas. Because my blood is here. I love Vegas when I'm loaded. I love Vegas when I am not. I love Vegas just like Khrushchev loves being indignant. More than
even my wife Jeannie loves being pregnant. I love bacon every moment. When I leave, I shed a tear. I love Vegas. I'll make it good and clear. It's because my girl's right here.
Thank you. I love Vegas. Thank you, Dino. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
No, not a bit. Thank you. Okay, welcome back. It's a Conservative's Perspective here, the Thursday evening live edition on Patriot Nation Radio Network, and we do that at the good folks of Blog Talk Radio. We talked a little bit about the collusion. You know, we've talked about this, and you know, there's just – we could go on talking about it for a while. I mean, this thing is huge. It's deep. It's complex. It's convoluted. It is weedy as the day is long, and it's difficult. It is difficult. It's uphill. We've got to climb a mountain of wet sand. There's no way around it. We've got to do it. And once we climb up that mountain of wet sand, then we've got to cut our way through the weediest of weeds, because they gamble on us. They bank on us not looking. They think if they can throw enough stuff on the wall, you know, enough will stick. And we won't be able to see through it. Well, we're not going to let that happen. And one of the things, and this is the saving grace. I found this article, Christopher Chantrill. He's a syndicated guy. I see a lot of his stuff at American Thinker, and what he says basically, and if you stop and think about it. Once this thing began to unravel, once smarter people, and I'm not in that crowd, okay? I'm just telling you what those guys are saying. I'm not in the smart people crowd at all, believe me. But once smarter people who were familiar with how these things worked knew where to look and knew what questions to ask, did we see how, I don't want to say easily, but how quickly, you know, the questions that were unanswered started to stack up. Information that was legitimately requested was stonewalled. It was slow walked. We know what's happened. Okay? We know what's happened. And what we've been talking about, even though nobody's confirmed it, other than just, you know, all us people talking about it, just citizens looking at the news, paying attention to some of the smarter journalists and the people who analyze and study these things. We're talking about it. Donald Trump's talking about it. Chris Matthews, no, not so much. Rachel Maddow, not so much. CNN, ABC, MSNBC, PBS, ABC, you know, the NBC, all the alphabet soups. Meh. It's not that big a deal to them. but it is a big deal. What we have learned about these people when they get caught, and they all do the same thing when they get caught. They obfuscate. First they deny. Everybody denies. Then they obfuscate and they dance around and they spin and they blame and they do this. And then finally, you know, it just comes out. So what we've learned from this unraveling that's been going on over the months is that these deep state hangers on, really, they're not. They're still dangerous. They need to be rooted out. They need to be brought to justice. They need to be tried. And if convicted, they need to be put in prison. They need to be imprisoned. And, you know, no breaks. Is that going to happen? Meh, we don't know. We'll see. But these people, from John Brennan to James Clapper to James Comey and Andrew McCabe, the Lovebird twins, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and Stephen Halper, the spy himself, you know, these guys are fools. They're fools. And you've seen, you know, if you've looked into this, and I've seen it, I've seen the email correspondence between these people, and it is inconceivable to me. It is stupefying to me that they talked so casually, so easily about what they were doing. Now, you know, it wasn't like, well, what's the latest in our conspiracy to overthrow the sitting president? I mean, you knew they weren't going to be saying that, but you understood what was going on. Intelligent people can, you know, they can read through this and see what the conspirators have to say in their plans. But, I mean, it's just in these email communications. Just type it up, send it out, hit send. It's like a tattoo, you know. None of that stuff ever really goes away. It may take a long time to be found, and it may never be found in some instances, but, you know, these guys are pretty good at what they do, and they process a lot of information every second of every day. And, but, you know, they're pretty casual about this. But that's the thing about it that we can take some comfort in, because they were so stupid. How could you be so stupid? I don't care what it is you're doing. Unless you don't care that you're going to get caught. And these guys may not have cared, because never in their wildest dreams did they imagine that Donald Trump was going to win the election. And that's the one saving grace. Everybody talks about Watergate too. That's the metric. That's the worst scandal ever. All right. And as conservatives, we love to rail about big government, the administrative state, and how, you know, it's just this gigantic Leviathan thing that we've got to try and trim and cut off. But these people that we just talked about, these conspirators, and that's what they are, traitors. If you guys remember what we talked about on Tuesday night with the definition of treason. Believe me, this is worse than Watergate. Because back then, if you can imagine this, the FBI refused to help President Nixon dish the opposition. But this time, under President Obama, the FBI jumped right in the hot tub with the cool kids and started texting. And why wouldn't these guys party with the best of them? The deep state just needed an insurance policy to make sure that Trump didn't make it. There's a thing they call the October surprise. A lot of people know about it. And it's usually opposition research. that is right on the eve of the election, some sensational, potentially damaging information is released about a candidate. They did it with George W.'s DUI conviction. You know, they wanted to throw that out there from like 30 years before. And the guy had been sober for decades, but they wanted to throw that out there. So, but it didn't work. It didn't do any good, but they still try it. So they have the Access Hollywood tape where Donald Trump's talking about grabbing girls by their Obamas. And they thought that would do the trick. And that would, you know, people would be disgusted. They'd be, you know, shocked and appalled at Donald Trump saying something about that. And but they weren't. And 63 million people said, you know, we see through what you're doing and we're voting for this cat because this isn't about the Republican Party. This isn't about the Democrats. It's sure as hell not about the progressive left. It's about a vision for America and restoring it to its position of preeminence among the nations of the world. So everybody just kept doing what they were doing. Why? Because they were convinced Hillary Clinton was going to win his election. So they just kept on texting and hot tubbing and lunching and hanging out and chilling. And it didn't work. And that's the point. They didn't even actually bother to use the FISA-approved surveillance to bring down candidate Trump. Well, why not? Well, because the people inside a modern administrative bureaucracy are all just going through the motions. What's our job today, Bob? Well, we got to make Donald Trump look bad. Gotcha. But we've got to make him look bad enough to where people won't want to vote for him and they'll want to vote for Hillary Clinton. Ouch. What do you mean? Well, if we got to make Donald Trump look bad enough that people will want to vote for Hillary Clinton, we're gonna have to make him look really, really bad. What do you got in mind? Well, how about this? Donald Trump eats babies. A little over the top. Okay, well, let's see. What about chicks? We know Donald Trump digs chicks because he's talking about grabbing them by their Obamas there, and we tried that, and that didn't work. We didn't get anywhere with that. No traction at all. It put the guy in the White House, probably. Well, what do powerful dudes do? Powerful dudes do hookers. Sure. Bill Clinton, Elliot Spitzer, Ted Kennedy. These are all Democrats, by the way. Ted Kennedy. Yeah, powerful guys do hookers. Let's do something with hookers. And in this long, convoluted thing, they come up with this way, this fusion GPS thing. But they don't have, and the reason I say it that way, in what I mean by they're going through the motions, they don't really have a strategic view of what they're doing. They're like cells in an organism just jiggling away without a real clue about the big picture. And if you don't believe this, go read the crap that comes out of the New York Times. So what it means in a way, because we see it cracking and we've seen it, you know, cracking and unraveling and just crumbling really fundamentally since it was started, since it began, but it's so big that it's going to take a long time to crumble into dust. Even, you know, it will, even as big as it is, but a lot of times these guys are dull, flat, one-dimensional routinists. Yes, they're in positions of power. and they have a great deal of influence and, you know, a lot of weight to throw around. But their chief programming that involves throwing that weight around is more about protecting their territories. It's more about their petty jealousies against one another, the perks, and above all, their pensions. Case in point, Andrew McCabe. Andrew McCabe got canned. He's not getting a pension. James Comey, yeah, he's got a pension. He got fired, but he got a pension. He didn't get fired under the egregious circumstances that Andrew McCabe did. Andrew McCabe got fired for lying. Jim Comey's got a book, and there are going to be people who buy that book, and there are going to be leftist organizations that buy the thing in bulk just to show that, you know, it's a number one bestseller, and they'll take them to a landfill, and they'll bury them. Nobody will ever crack those suckers open. They'll just pay cost for them, and yeah, he sold 15 million copies when he probably really truly only sold about 60. I don't know, 83 copies. But he's on TV. He's going out there. He's making money. He's probably going to wind up as a contributor at CBS or CNN or someplace like that. And he'll be in with all the swells. And where's Andy McCabe? Well, Andy McCabe's hustling. He's really got to work now. To try and, because he's got two criminal referrals against him. Andy McCabe could die in prison. He could be away. He could be gone that long. No pension for Andy McCabe. No book deals. No book tours. Nobody's going to want disgraced, lying Andy McCabe, who, by the way, spent $70,000 on a damn desk. I saw that earlier today. It was in some of the stuff that the FBI had redacted in these communications that Congress wants to see. And Chuck Grassley went ballistic on it. He flipped out over, you know, he said, this is ridiculous. You guys, you're being clowns. You're supposed to redact stuff for security purposes, not to cover your butts because of stupid, greedy things you do. The deputy director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe, spent 70,000 simoleons desk. Was it got like a Lincoln Continental grill on the front? I mean, what in the world? What's it made out of? Baby seal's teeth? $70,000? Ridiculous. Good golly, Miss Molly. So that's what you're seeing. So that's what we're talking about. So are these the people what are we going to do tonight, Director Comey? Same thing we do every night, Andy. Try to take over the world. That's what we're dealing with. Okay? We're dealing with the animaniacs. But they're in positions of power. Ah. What this kind of looks like, and I was around. I wasn't very old at the time. I was a wee little nipper back in the late 60s, early 70s. But it's kind of reminiscent in a lot of ways of what that post-60s experience was like. And back then, you know, we saw the bringing down of the Nixon administration. We see Nixon resigning the presidency. And because of things that had happened, liberals thought that the world had changed forever and that they were going to be the future. But through the 70s and the 80s, the ordinary Americans hated the rich kid conceits of the Ted Kennedys and those leading young Democratic lights of that time and the hippies and the SDS. So they started voting for the Nixons and the Reagans. Well, the cool kids, they got rid of Nixon. They They didn't get rid of Ronald Reagan, and I don't think they're going to manage to get rid of Trump. And I can't wait to see what's going to happen once all this mess finally comes crashing down. Well, we are at the end of the program tonight. It's flying solo this evening. Tonight is just ACP. It's just Conservative Perspective. Mark Hoffman did his show last night because the scheduling of his guests wouldn't permit him to do a Thursday program. So he rolled left and hit the Wednesday night show, and we flew on and continued the mission here on Thursday night. I want to thank you guys for the opportunity to get to talk with you a little bit. It's been a great treat, as it always is. Again, we do this a lot of different ways in a couple different incarnations. The recorded program is played on the Talk America Radio Network. And you can go to talkamericaradio.org. They have two streaming audio channels, the Liberty Stream, the Justice Stream. ACP is heard on both of those. We also do two live shows here, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Ordinarily, the Thursday show is back-to-back with our buddy Mark Hoffman, but again, scheduling issues with a guest precluded him from being on tonight, and he had his show last night. But you can find them all in the archive there, Blog Talk Radio, Patriot Nation Radio, and you can go into the archive there and you can find us all. Just queued up and ready to talk to you, which is a privilege. And we recognize that it is a privilege to get to do this. I don't mind telling you, and I've said it over and over a million times, I'm living my dream. When I sit down behind this microphone and I start looking through stuff on the internet and things I want to talk about and it's going through my head, I'm living my dream. I am blessed beyond measure because of it. And if you weren't listening, then I would have no blessing. So I want to thank you all once again for that. That's all the time we got. We're about 3 minutes short, but I'm out of gas. And like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm tired. I still need to get dinner. I still need to decompress. God bless each and every one of you. God bless the United States of America. We will be back next Tuesday, 7 p.m., Lord willing, and the river don't rise, and we will be taking a look at things as we do. Through a conservative's perspective. We'll see you guys now.